Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Faith on the Road to Success. I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. Tonight, I want to relay a story to you that came from a discussion that I had with a young man that I met many, many, many years ago. He was a student of my father's, and we had quite a discussion, and he is a man well known to many around the world. And one of the things that impressed me most about our conversation, as he was talking about my dad, and he went to school decades ago. But my father asked him, what did he want to do after he graduated? And he gave him a very detailed accounting of what he wanted to do. And my father praised him for it. He asked some other people. They did not have that definitive plan in their mind. It's a very important thing to have because you then have a roadmap that you can follow. Is that roadmap going to be without obstacles? No, it's not. But you have a clearly defined goal. Now, we've talked about this in the past, and that's why we refer to our goals on a daily basis. What are we going to do today? What are we going to try to do this week? What are we going to try to do this month? And we use that information in order to plot our map forward. Are there times when we deviate from that plan? Yes. But we always have to be cognizant of what we want to do. And we also need to be aware of why we want to do it. This man was very clear in what he wanted to do. He was aware of the price that he had to pay, and it was a steep price. But even today, he's happy with the decisions that he made, and he went where he said he was going to go. It's important because a person without vision shall perish. We hear this, but what does it mean? It means don't be afraid to dream. Do not be afraid to dream. Very recently, we have been exposed to young ladies at Fisk University in Nashville, Tennessee, and they are the first all-black HBCU team to compete in gymnastics, and they are doing very, very well. One lady was going to a high-prestige college somewhere else, but made the decision to go with Fisk. Now, these are people that are dedicated to a common goal. Stayed in the same events? No. But they have a common mind. And I want you to understand this, that you are oftentimes looking for people who are success-oriented. Does not mean that they have to be successful in your field of endeavor, but they have a mindset that leads you in that direction. I've talked many times about George Washington Carver. George Washington Carver and Henry Ford were aligned on many ideas, on many others they were not. For one, financial. George Washington Carver was not out seeking the dollar. His motivation was to do something for the people of this country, particularly black people. But he didn't stop there. His goal was to help people. And how did he do this? He was a soil scientist, and he looked at the problem that was being faced in the South. The South had rich soil and could grow cotton, but the cotton depleted the soil of vital nutrients, depleted it. So the yield was going down. Most people didn't know why, because they did not study soils. They did not know what minerals had to be added back into the soil to keep it productive. And he could see this. In the early 1900s, as the boll weevil approached, he was able to see that it was coming. He encouraged people to plant crops like peanuts and cotton and sweet potatoes and other legumes that would enrich the soil, because that was his specialty. And he said, besides, if something happens, at least you have something to eat. With cotton, you could not eat cotton. You can sell it. The market was going up. It was a very prosperous crop. And at one time, over half of the entire worth of this country was based on cotton. It was shipped around the world. It was shipped to England. It was shipped in many places. Many of the factories that produced goods of cotton were overseas. We had factories here, but by and large, we didn't. Now, we ended up, and I worked in the textile industry when I was in college. I worked in different capacities, and at one time, I was a weaver running a set of 40 looms for Cannon Mills. I've worked for Burlington. I've worked for Theocrest. I've worked for others. Now, my desire at that point was not to become a textile worker, but to further my goals as being a chemist. Now, many people were attracted to college because they could get a job teaching. That was not my intent. I did not want to teach. And that was before I found out what kids are like today. That is a challenging occupation. And we are catching our teachers in a vice. It is extremely difficult to operate as a teacher. And I won't go into all of that. But if that is your goal, that is your dream, God bless you and Godspeed. On doing it, because we need teachers. We need them badly. And we're going to see changes take place. We're going to see salaries improve. We're going to see conditions improve, because they're going to have to. We can't continue on the path that we are on. I believe that people that have experienced industry also need to take a turn in teaching. I would love to have people in industry come out on a sabbatical and teach school for a year, because it brings something to the classroom. Not that the teachers that are there today don't have it, but that is the actual working environment. People have seen it. They've struggled. They've gotten where they want to be, or at a point on their journey where they need to be in order to move further. And I think it's great to understand the generational gap that's being created. Most parents have no idea what their kids are doing in school. From the standpoint of the work, from the standpoint of their behavior, from the standpoint of the handcuffs that are being placed on teachers, and the difficulty in attracting people because of the discipline, because of the pay. My parents both were teachers, and I am very thankful for them because I learned a lot from them. They were in different fields, but I believe each one was successful. They had goals both within the school system and without. I didn't learn every lesson that I should. Some of them I'm just now understanding and accepting. Not their fault, my fault. But I want you to understand that we need to have this roadmap. Where am I going? Many people go into teaching not because of the amazingly high salaries, because they aren't there. Yeah, you can move up. You can go into positions of leadership, and some of them are almost palatable. But you have to have a love for it in order to tolerate it. But there are other people And we sometimes get confused. I want to make sure that this point is covered completely. There is a difference between intelligence and education, a difference between intellect and education, because education is that formal work that we do and indicates that we have the ability to perform at a level that someone has determined is adequate. And within that broad area, we can even excel in that, and that's great. But I wanted to use that excellence that I had to go into chemical research. I wasn't particularly interested in teaching. And one of the reasons that I was not interested in teaching is because I thought, and I don't want to sound like some idiot here, but I thought that my ideas were fantastic. I grew up in a segregated South, and I thought if I came back, plan into motion, that there would be consternation from that, and I would ultimately end up without a job. I am putting a veil over this, and I hope it's not so obscure that nobody gets the point, but I don't want to be so blatant that nobody gets it and misinterprets what I'm saying. But you have goals, you have ambitions, and this is what this young man had. He had everything laid out. He knew what he wanted to do. He knew and had an idea of what it was going to take. Was that actually what it took? Yes and no, because it took that determination. It took discipline on both his personal life and also his business acumen. And this is what I'm trying to get across to you. We look at simple solutions to problems, and sometimes complex problems have very simple solutions. One of them is to go back to our basics. Go back to our basics. We shouldn't stray very far from them. I've seen talented people sometimes waste that talent. I've seen football teams where they could make spectacular hits on players, but they sometimes forgot that the primary reason for being in proximity of that person in the first place was to tackle them. Yeah, they wanted to make the highlight reel. And you miss your initial purpose. And in so doing, you sabotage yourself. You sabotage your team. Keep track of your fundamentals. We do this when we go to church. We go back to our fundamentals. And that's where progress lies. That's where success lies. We build on what we have learned. We start in the first grade. We go to the second, the third, the fourth, increasingly more difficult. And we understand that. Now, at some point in time, we are going to break away possibly from the formal system, although I support it to the extent that you can. We have people that may have finished high school. Maybe they can take a higher level education course in something else. It doesn't have to be an academic area. It may be in talent. You may want to be a machinist. You may want to be a mechanical engineer, something there. And if you have a focus on it, you tend to move in the direction that you're looking at. Things come to you from the universe. I was working on a particularly taxing problem and was asking an expert. The expert didn't know the answer, but I heard somebody in the audience give an answer that turned out to be absolutely 100% correct. But I was tuned to it. I was listening to it. You will have these situations arise. You may be in a place where you don't expect to get a response. But when somebody calls on that particular bandwidth that you are on, you respond to it. You hear it. It's just like your mother or your father calling your name. You can be in a very crowded place, and when that voice comes across, you understand it, you hear it, above the loud sounds that are all around it. This is what one of the things that I did not understand. People were talking about, well, God talked to me, and I'm thinking, nobody has ever pulled up a chair beside me and started a conversation that goes like the preacher's talking about. I did not understand it. But sometimes it comes in the form of an idea. We understand where it's coming from. We understand what's taking place. And ministers many times get that that idea, that thought, that driving that moves them to that great sermon that they deliver. We have the same capabilities, folks. And I believe that much of it starts with that dream. It starts with the dream that I can do this, I can do that. Because I, at my age, have seen many ideas that were scoffed at, absolutely laughed at, as absolutely ridiculous. I was a fan of Dick Tracy in the comic books as a youth. And Dick Tracy had a wrist radio watch that he could talk into. And later it became a small screen TV that he could look and see things in and talk on as well. We have those today. But back then, walking around saying that you were going to do that, people would take you for somebody that needed to go to for psychiatric help. It's the dreamers that move us forward. It's those people that have the idea and are willing to spend time and effort. And you say, well, I don't have the necessary talent to do it. As I do my post, some of you may be aware, I do a post called AmazingBlackHistory.com. One of the upcoming posts is going to be on a lady by the name of Alice H. Painter. She made progress in the area of comfort heating, because she developed a gas furnace. What we were stuck with up until that time were generally stoves of some sort in each room. And it prevented a lot of things from happening, large-scale buildings, air conditioning, for example. Although it was a different system, the way that she had forced air throughout a building became a science. Now, we oftentimes think that women aren't capable. We sometimes think that other people aren't capable. But when we look at people, we look sometimes at handicaps and no further. We don't see the heart and mind of brilliant people sitting there. Sometimes I think that that is intentional, because I think it gives us a chance to relate as human beings, and we often pass up those opportunities. A previous post was on Haben Girma, H-A-B-E-N-G-I-R-M-A. And most of us rely on our sense of hearing and our sense of sight for most of the input that we bring in. But let me give you a little secret. Haben Girma is deaf. She can't hear, legally cannot hear. She can hear, but it's in a very high register. She can talk, but in order to hear what she is saying, she has to talk in a higher register than most people speak. Her voice sounds a little funny at first because of the high pitch of her tone, but that's an adaptation. And I want you to understand that if we can adapt to something, it's not really a problem. We have to be determined. We have to know where we want that determination to take us, and we need to be willing to pay the price. That's all it takes. Now, in addition to being deaf, she's blind. So that was out. Now, she went to, I believe it was Portland State in Oregon, graduated with very high honors, and I believe went on to Harvard Law School and graduated, again, with honors. She can't hear. She can't see. But she can read Braille. And somehow that message gets into Braille, and she can communicate with people. As a result of an incident, probably not the only incident in her life, but she was very miffed at the fact that when she went into the college cafeteria, there were five lines. She could not find out what was on the menu because she couldn't see it. They didn't accommodate her, and we have an Americans with Disabilities Act. And what she was most incensed about was the fact that she would get in the line sometimes and find out that another line had chocolate cake, and she greatly loved that. So she went on a crusade to make available to blind people, all handicapped people, to make it accessible. We sometimes look at a particular disability. She can't hear, she can't see. But what she did opened up the world to those people that can't walk, that cannot talk, and others. So it is a spillover. It is a community working together. We sometimes take our individual fights as if it is just us by ourselves. But I find that as you get into groups, you find that there's common ground in most of those groups. I didn't realize this until I started riding motorcycles. I was a road rider. We would sometimes go 200-400 miles down the road to meet with other clubs. It wasn't an outlaw club. It was a club composed of what I at the time called normal people. There were doctors. There were lawyers. There were professionals. There were craftsmen. There were housewives, and there were just about every occupation you could see. And as we looked around at groups, yeah, sometimes we had groups that favored a particular brand, a particular model. But we also sometimes would find professional people together talking. And this allowed me to move from one group to another group because I had very many interests. I was a chemist and could find interest in many groups. But I learned something from them. I learned something. I cannot stay in one particular group that is not feeding me what I need and expect to get it. But I can if I work around different people, different interests. Like I said, what does Henry Ford and George Washington Carver have in common? Henry Ford doesn't produce peanuts, but during the war, when metal was scarce, he and Carver came up with a product made out of soybeans that was a plastic that could be used to build car bodies. Great minds can work together. Now, Ford didn't have the expertise to do this. Carver did. Carver worked with Ford because he had a farm, and they often spoke. When George Washington Carver got to the point where he could not move from his apartment to his lab because it involved a flight of stairs, Henry Ford sent his best engineers down to solve that problem. There is more than one way to skin a cat, so the expression goes. We can get it done in more than one way. Carver was not interested in the money because he actually took a pay cut to go to Tuskegee. He was a very frugal man. as a going away gift when he left Iowa State University was a microscope. And he used that microscope all of his life, all of his life. Obviously, it was a good one. Obviously, technology came and went, but he was able to utilize what he had. If you go to the museum at Tuskegee, you'll see some of his handiwork. He had great handicrafts that are just intricate. He painted. In fact, when he first went to school, that's what he wanted to excel in, painting and piano. And he had to, at a young age, derive his own pigments. So he was into botany, and he was steered away from botany, away from art, because his teacher, being very frank and very honest, said, "George, I don't think that a black man can make enough money in art and piano to support himself. You have this love over here, and here is a program that caters to that." And he took to it like a duck to Junebug. It was heaven for him. This is what I speak of when I say sometimes we get to a point where we find a different interest. He had this interest all along. As a kid, he was called the plant doctor. And people would bring him sick and ailing plants. And he had studied them, the type of soil that they were in, the amount of sunshine that they did, whether they needed a moist environment or a dry environment. And he was able to bring sick plants back to good health at a young age. We oftentimes look. Now, Painter was fortunate enough when she was at Howard University to take some advanced classes and do this. But we look at Marie Van Britten Brown, who developed the alarm system that many of us have in our homes today. Her husband was an electrician, but they collaborated on many of these things. We sometimes look at reasons why we can't as opposed to why we can. But when we keep detailed notes, this is what I want to do, and the reason that I want to do it is because I want to surprise my granddaughter with such and such. I want her to be proud. I want her to see this. I want her to see that is often what drives us to the point of success. That's why we have to have those things. That's why we refer to them day in and day out. We don't want to lose track of what we have that is so important. This is what makes us different than the animals, because we can set plans. How many times do you find plans like that being devised by lower animals? It does not happen. It happens with people. People of all genders, of all races, of all religions, tall, short, heavy, slim, whatever. That does not matter. The matter is that we are self-directing. We can move ourselves in a particular direction. We have, and I was not a morning person. I didn't want to get up in the morning. Maybe I stayed up too late at night. Whatever the problem was, I did not. But I became a morning person because I understood that in order to pass my classes, I had to be there. I had a dream down the road that I would be a research chemist, that I would be working in a laboratory, that I would be doing what I wanted to, and I'd just be happy doing that. That drove me to do it. It changed my circadian rhythms all over the place. And this is what happens. When you have that dream in front of you, you start finding ways to get from here to there. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And you can't be so standoffish that people have to beat down your door in order to give you something. That's generally not the way that it happens. you have to be out there. I've given people information that if you are interested in a particular topic, find when clubs and other organizations of a like interest are meeting. Go there. Sometimes you may feel out of place, but sometimes you find that one individual that chips the ice away, that allows you to see a bigger picture, that you can overhear things that talk about materials that you might get that can help you on your way. There's so many things that can happen. History was not one of those things that was of interest to me. And my interest there developed quite by accident. But I'm old enough to be retired. Basically, I am retired. But I follow that particular dream. And that is an offshoot of something else, because I wanted to inspire and motivate people. But I found that every time we wanted to use an example, those people didn't look like me. They had nothing in common with me except that we were created by the same God. And fortunately, that turned out in my favor, because I began to understand that it's not the packaging that I'm in. It's not the gender that I am. It's not the height that I am. But it's the fact that I have something that moves me every day. I've gotten to the point where I can take a day off. Used to not be able to do that when I was working as a chemist. I didn't want to take a day off. I wanted to go and work in my laboratory. That's what I wanted to do. My parents would come out for 2 weeks, and the first week I would work. They would take care of the kids. The second week we would all go somewhere on vacation. But I found that it was into that second week before I didn't jump up in the morning and say, I've got to go to work, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. It took me that long to change that routine. Now, remember, I didn't start off as a morning person at all, but I developed into one because I had those goals that drive me. Now, it's easy for me to change gears, so to speak, to move from one category to another. And I want you to do this as well. But I want you to keep in mind why you're doing something. Don't feel guilty when you take time off, because we need to refresh ourselves. We hear in the Bible that he rested on the seventh day. And whether your seventh day is somebody else's sixth day or whatever, you are being driven by your beliefs, your God. And yeah, there are some times when you work 7 days or more, because I was for many years on a rotating cycle. We worked day, swing, and graveyard all in one 28-day cycle. Sometimes it's hard on the system, but I got used to it to an extent. When I got off, yeah, I loved not being there on day shift or swing shift. As strange as it may seem, graveyard was my time. But people are different. This is why our goals and ambitions are different. Some people have a business because they want to turn it over to a relative, a kid or somebody, or a particular person or organization or something. There's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong, because it is your dream. You're put here for a reason, a meaning. But it's easy to get track of that. You know, I used to get up in the morning and I'd be watching news or something, and I had to realize that this story is not my life. What I'm watching on TV may or may not be of some long-term benefit to me. I used to want to hear every song that came on the radio, every song. And this is not to belittle anybody that wants to do the same thing. But I started replacing some of that time with something else because it had meaning to me. You know, when you start wanting to study electrons circling a element or something, as opposed to listening to the latest song on the radio, then that's what we're talking about. But I can go back and enjoy that at a later time. I just don't need it all the time every day. Neither one of them do I need all the time every day. I want to be able to make changes in my life. Yeah, there are times when I'd like to take a week off and go fishing, and I do. There are times when I just want to travel. That relaxation sometimes is what reinvigorates you. And I want you to understand that. If you decide that you're going to take a week off and go to one of your children's graduation, fine, block that on your calendar. Block it. Don't fill it in with anything else. And do it. And don't feel guilty about it. Because that refreshing, that reinvigorating, you see the reason that it's important. And we sometimes overlook the reason. We sometimes talk to our kids in harsh tones and forget that when we are training animals, for example, positive reinforcement is what produces the biggest difference. Positive reinforcement. You give the animal a treat when they do what you want them to do, not beating them every time they don't. And those with positive influences generally have much, much better results. This is one of the things that we see, and we still have the vestiges of those that, and I'm sure that the people that I'm talking with right now did not endure slavery like it happened back in the early days before emancipation. But we still have some of the attitudes that are still lingering from that on both sides. And rather than trying to resolve those problems, we are trying to retaliate from them. That's a very ridiculous way of trying to solve problems. And I've been there. I've been there, my friends. I understand it. But I find out that sometimes it is better to forgive than anything else. Forgiving frees you more than it frees the person that you forgive. Sometimes they don't even know that you're bent out of shape. Sometimes they don't. And they don't usually spend a lot of time worrying about it, but you do. Keep yourself positive. Keep yourself moving down the road. When I tell you to write down what you intend to accomplish today, this week, this month, does not mean it's chiseled in stone. It can change in a flash. It can change, and you need to be flexible enough to do that. And when you do, understand that you haven't changed your main mission. If there was a class or somebody that would spend time with you, helping you over a particularly rough point, and you didn't know about it, but all of a sudden it springs up today, the wise thing to do is to try to work that into the schedule. If that means that you have to lop something off today and put it back on later, fine. We have the intelligence to make decisions like that. They're probably not going to happen every day. They may, but we have to make decisions. That's why when we make our schedule, what are we going to do today? I don't want you to make a list of 10 or 20 things where you have no possibility of doing them all, because you're going to be frustrated. Well, I got one and two off the list, but I had 18 that I didn't make. No, you did the top two that you had on your list, finding that that's what happens every day. Don't make a list of 10 or 20 unless you find something that I'm overlooking at this point in time. And that happens too. The reason that we speak like this is so that we can learn from it. We can learn from it. I had a friend that just last week had to close his business. And while many people look at it as a failure, it's not a failure if he learned something from it and he's not too afraid to do it again. Sometimes that's what it takes. As I look back over my life, there are times when I wish I had been bolder, because I have sat in meetings, had a question or had a scenario in mind, but I didn't want to mention it because I didn't want anybody to laugh at me. No, that wasn't the point. I don't care if they laugh now. I get information from that that enables me to perform better the next time. And sometimes I bring up something that's so vitally important. When you sit there and have a question, remember, you're probably not the only person that has that question. Sometimes as the leader of the group, you need to ask questions, and the reason for asking the question may be different. You may want to clarify what is being said so that everybody is clear on what it's doing. Is this what you mean? So I should do this, correct? Yes, no, whatever the case may be. Sometimes the asking of a question is not the primary point of asking a question. We have to realize this. When we hear somebody talk, they may be shut down, but they may be speaking directly to you, and you may be able to get with them later, and it may turn out to be a match made in heaven. The negative way out every time. Do not take the negative way out every time. Positive is a lot better, much, much better. And we do this by being positive, setting positive tones for ourselves. So again, we have that dream. And sometimes we're afraid to dream too big. Sometimes we're afraid that we are dreaming too big. What does that mean? No, God gave you the ability to dream. And sometimes it seems overwhelming. But sometimes the solution to that problem is right in front of our face. It may not be obvious to us at the very beginning. And this is why I get particularly infuriated. Maybe that's a bit strong. But we have people that think that the only thing George Washington Carver did with the peanut was make peanut butter. He didn't make peanut butter. But he made so many other products from it. He made soaps. He made shaving creams. He made floor coverings. He made paper. He made coffee substitutes. There are over 300 products, and sometimes look them up. Sometimes that's what gives us inspiration. As an organic chemist, I was not an organic chemist, but I studied organic chemistry enough to know that there are materials in that are absolutely outstanding. In the war, one of the ways that we put color into our life was using an aniline process, and that particular chemical was produced in Germany. During World War II, we didn't have access to it like we did prior to. But George Washington Carver developed colors, and some of those are used in our crayons today. He put color into our world to such an extent, but we don't recognize him for that because we don't know. Sometimes when we have a hero, we need to study that person. We need to get into their mind. We need to hire them as our personal mentor, our personal mentor. And sometimes I have conversations. I am aware that George Washington Carver never took a book into his laboratory. But he would get up at 4 o'clock every morning and spend quiet time with his creator, his books, and just thinking things out. That's work. And it produced a lot of good results. Sometimes we have to understand that our most period may be when we walk down to the river or the lake or the pond and spend a few minutes watching the ducks, the geese, the wildlife, going into a very serene place, getting rid of some of the hustle and madness of the rat race that we sometimes are in. Probably many of you may not have heard that term rat race, but there was a time when it was popular back in my day. Yep, my day, way back when. But we sometimes need to slow down, give our mind chance to catch up, give our mind chance to flourish. And this is what we're doing, folks. This is what I'm talking about in dreaming. We begin to see things. I have seen this happen more than once. I'm working on a math problem, and I am stymied. I'm tired. I cannot figure it. My mind is just not working as it should. And I go to sleep, and I wake up, and I've got a solution. It happens, folks. It happens. Not just in math, but it happens in other things. Have faith in yourself. Have faith that that dream is coming to you for a reason. Sometimes we see great discoveries taking place in more than one location. And I think that's because more than one person can be tuned in. But what happens? One person works smarter and comes up with a solution. One of the most defeating things that you can ever see is to come up with a solution to a problem, an invention, a discovery, or something, and have it in your mind and have it clear in your mind, but unable to take advantage of it because you didn't do anything with it. You sometimes think that you're not worthy of that idea. Understand, God isn't up there just turning out things for his amusement. His amusement is your success because you understand the capabilities that you have. That mind that you have is one of the most exquisite things ever, ever created. And we have that ability, cannot afford to allow ourselves to languish in thinking, he did this for somebody else. He didn't do it for me. Yes, sir, he did. Or yes, ma'am, he did. Because he put that idea there. When I talked about Alice Painter coming up with the forced air, the gas furnace, that's the least likely person that you would ever think of as doing that. We have to look and understand God gives us all abilities beyond what we expect. We spend a lot of time in study. And I think we missed the main point. That main point is that we should live our lives as we expect to live it, understanding that we have been given the best of everything. The thing that prevents us is that nagging thought put there by Satan that says, he can do it, but you can't. She can do it, but you can't. No, if they can do it, I can do it too. Spend time in reflection, just like George Washington Carver. He spent time thinking about these things. He didn't go into his laboratory in a panic. And this month on AmazingBlackHistory.com, we're looking at 31 amazing black women that we should all know. All know. When we look at somebody like Constance Baker Motley, for example, one of the most brilliant legal minds around. We were in a box from Plessy v. Ferguson that said separate but equal, and it never was equal, was okay. The person that wrote the brief for that case was Motley, Constance Baker Motley, a woman. We don't think of that. She handled the cases that integrated the University of Georgia, Mississippi, and Alabama, and we don't know about her. She can be an inspiration not just to women, not just to people of color, but to everybody, because the spirit is what moves us forward. That spirit, that inspiration, that thing that God gave every one of us is what is at play. It's what is at work and what we have to tap into. You may not be able to walk. My grandson, who I am a big fan of his, last week was invited to California to give a speech. He's going across country again next week to deliver another speech. He doesn't have use of his legs. He played on the United States Wheelchair Rugby League. He plays wheelchair basketball. He works for a leading accounting firm, PricewaterhouseCoopers. Many of these things wouldn't have happened. He has a great friendship with Bill Walton, the former basketball player. These things show me that it is possible. It is possible, and it happens for a reason. I wouldn't want to give up my ability to walk, but if I didn't have it, I don't want to pull the curtain over me. I don't want to put the dirt over my head. I want to be standing upright as long as I can. And I think he has a blessed life. Blessed. There are people that feel sorry for themselves. That's a waste of time, folks. Do not waste your time feeling sorry for yourself. Use your time to overcome. Just like Harbin Gurma. She doesn't feel sorry for herself. She knows that she is doing good. She's a leading attorney in civil rights, and she is working for people with disabilities. She's deaf. She's blind. But rather than feel sorry for herself, she is living a wonderful life, a wonderful life. Some of us curse because we don't have everything that we want. We don't hold the record in every physical endeavor that man has ever thought about. And we think that we're missing out. The FOMO, fear of missing out. Take advantage of what you've got and do the best you can. So my advice to you is to dream. I want some of you to contact me, and there are ways of doing that electronically. And let me know. Tell me. Talk to me. I'll give you the number again next week on how to call into the show and how we can talk about your problem. I'm not looking for perfect English or perfect diction. I'm not looking for anything except people that are real, that have problems, that are seeking solutions, should I say. The positive is what we're looking for. It's been my pleasure to be with you tonight. My name is John C. Abercrombie. The program that we're watching is Faith on the Road to Success. Notice faith. While we don't go back and do a number of Bible quotations, Bible verses, you will find that the principles that we use are based there. And it's based on the principle that we are endowed with certain unalienable rights. And among those is the fact that we can believe in ourselves. Believe in ourselves and what we can do. We've had the greatest creator on the face of the earth. And I want you to think about that. I want you to participate in the program. And we will be back on next week. at 7 p.m. You can use the same contact information you used to get on this time. There are other programs on Crown Talking Drums. I suggest that you take a look at them and enjoy many of them that are on that fit your schedule. Again, the program is Faith on the Road to Success. I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. It has been my pleasure to be with you. I want you to be blessed. I want you to join us next week. Invite somebody to join us because I think it can have a positive effect on their lives. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed, and I'll see you again Thursday, 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific, and whatever that translates out into in your part of the world. Stay tuned. There's another broadcast coming on at 8 p.m., and it may be just the thing that you're looking for. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed.